Oh, before we get to the scripture, I've got to talk about that. Did you like my assistant pastor there, Brady, that was helping baptize his grandson or his grandfather? Roy didn't have his hearing aids in. I said, you can leave your wallet in there. We'll baptize that, but I'm not going to baptize your hearing aids. I said, so we'll take those out. But made new at 92. He's in assisted living. Had the H of the Hope Arrow, had a spiritual conversation with his daughter. Wanted to come to Christ, and he did. So we, strong 92 as well. And I appreciate this. He's from Eastern Kentucky. And he said, I want you to mention the Holy Ghost when you do that. I said, we'll throw the ghost on you, Roy. I said, we'll put that on you if that's what you want. So we appreciated that. The Lord has graced us with tons of baptisms. You all, if you're not just paying attention, we're cutting songs out of worship sets. The preaching's still long, but we've been cutting the songs out. Just so we have room to give you the celebration and the videos if you're not in one of the services. And the Lord has been gracious. Has he not been gracious to us and faithful to us? Let's look at Daniel chapter 10, verse 18 and 19. If you're a guest or you're new, we're going through the book of Daniel. We have 10 today, 11 and 12. We're doing one Sunday per chapter. So we're getting near the end of it. I hope you've enjoyed the journey in it. I have. I've enjoyed what I was able to do with you and present to you, and even just the prep of it's been great. Let me read this to you. Then the one with human likeness touched me again and strengthened me. Verse 19, he said, don't be afraid. You who are treasured by God, peace to you, and be very strong. And as he spoke to me, I was strengthened and said, let my Lord speak, for you are the one who has strengthened me. Let's pray together. Father, would you help me to be a plain preacher today, so plain that a child would understand me? Help me to be in tune to your Holy Spirit. Any word of knowledge you give to me to speak to a person or their situation, Lord, if you prompt me with it, I want to be obedient to speak to it. You look at all of us today, Lord, but you see me differently. I'm your teacher and your preacher. On me is a greater and a more strict judgment than anybody in the room, and I know that, and I accept my place, Lord, in rightly dividing your word. It's in the name of Jesus that I pray, and I also in your name that I preach. Amen. When we look at last Sunday, for those who weren't here, we looked at chapter 9 and we looked at Daniel's prayer. And if you were here, we led you through that prayer together. The stages of his prayer became our congregational prayer. Today we're going to be in chapter 10. And it's the beginning of a vision that actually will be explained a little more detail in chapters 11 and 12. But one of the places we're going to start today, and then also we're going to end at the same place today, is that the Lord reminds Daniel over and over that you are treasured by God, that you are greatly loved. And I want you to sense that too. I know our arguments. It'll be, well, that's Daniel. No, that's him. That's who God is. And we're going to look at that and look at who we are. And I just want to go ahead and just out of just credibility, where my education is, my academic life is, I read a man named Warren Wiersbe. And the older I get, the more that I like him. And he would be an old school theologian, really. The format we have today just comes from his encouragement and thought, and I was able to put it together in such a way. But here's what we're going to be handling today. That Daniel sees the glory of God. 2, Daniel hears the word of God. 3, Daniel senses the touch of God. 4, Daniel is included in the battles of God. And then lastly, Daniel is treasured by God. So we're going to look at Daniel sees the glory of God. I want you to look at Daniel 10, 5 and 6 for just a moment. Daniel begins to see this vision of a man. Said, I looked up and there was a man dressed in linen with a belt of gold from Uphaz, and it was around his waist. Verse 6, His body was like topaz. His face was like the brilliance of lightning. His eyes like flaming torches. His arms and his feet like the gleam of polished brass or bronze. And the sound of his words were like the sound of a multitude, a huge crowd. Some people were saying that this is a picture of Jesus, just one of his pre-incarnate, meaning coming in the flesh, one of his appearances before he comes to us in flesh in Bethlehem. Some say it's Gabriel, that there's just been, in the chapters of Daniel, there's just been this long-going picture of Gabriel bringing the message to the Lord. Or some say he could be another angel, this vision. Now, this description matches Revelation 1, where John sees and he has a description of Jesus. But there's one situation in chapter 10 that may make us think it's possibly Gabriel too, because it says this appearance needs the help of archangels to overcome the enemy, where you and I know that Jesus himself is enough alone. So there becomes an argument as to where it is, but the whole, nonetheless, one place that we can rest assurance is that it is a heavenly host, and it is a holy host that is given to us by God. Only Daniel saw it. Daniel had his buddies around. They didn't see it. But one thing they did do is they were able to sense this presence. You know, and we can do that. One of the ways that I know the Holy Spirit moves in me is when I sense the presence of God, I start crying. And so to look good, we made up a line in Hope Church a long time ago that where there's tears, there's Jesus, right? So one way, when I start moving to tears, I feel a strong sense of his presence. Daniel was able to see the glory of God. The other buddies were able to sense the glory of God. But Daniel was able to see it. And his buddies sensed it, and they were afraid, and they ran, and they were hiding from it. But the Lord, seeing the glory of the Lord, that Daniel lost strength. He was powerless. He's pale, the scripture says. You and I grew up with it. We've talked about it before. He's peaked, is what my mom would say. And he goes into a deep sleep, or he's laying on his face in the presence of the Lord. I've been in situations where his presence beckoned me to change my posture, where it was so strong that it changed the way my body reacted to his presence. I've seen people go to their face. And some of us, especially in Baptist life, we're thinking, you know, that can weird us out. It doesn't weird me out. I work better in chaos than I do in structure anyway. But the picture of it is that the holiness and the glory of this has worked in Daniel's life to the point he was losing strength and powerless. He falls on his face before the Lord, but he sees the glory of God. His buddies, they sensed the glory of God. And when they did, they ran and they were hiding from it. And we'll talk more about that fear here in just a moment. The second thing today out of chapter 10 is Daniel hears the word of God. It sounded, the scripture says, it sounded like a multitude. So if you're wondering what it sounded like, I don't know if you've ever been to Mississippi State to a football game, but I have. And those cowbells will drive you nuts, by the way. They will drive, you'll hear cowbells for days after you've been there. But whatever your favorite team is, or whatever football stadium you go to, let's just say it sounded like a multitude. It may be third down, and then the crowd, the home team, is trying to drown out so that the opposing team can't hear. It sounded like a huge crowd. When this vision spoke, it sounded like this incredible crowd. The message was revealed. Scripture says early on in chapter 10 that the message was true, and it also says that the message was understood. But this message was about a great conflict that was going to happen. It was about a war, a great war. Some say it's a representation of an earthly war. Some say it's representation of a spiritual war. But it's the truth is, it's probably both. It's probably both the great war that you'll read about even in the book of Revelation, that even is being handled with Daniel here today in chapter 10. It becomes just a picture of both. And later on, chapters 11 and 12, the next two Sundays, will handle this message of this great conflict. But the message assures Daniel that he's highly favored, that he's treasured, that he's greatly loved, and don't be afraid. Don't be afraid, Daniel. It says it over and over in the Gospels, when angels and heavenly hosts appear, the first thing they say to us is don't be afraid. And this message that is given here is meant to strengthen us. It helps us to understand the intent of God. Now, some of you know the way my mind and heart work. And when I see these passages in the Gospels, and even here with Daniel, his buddies will run and hide, or even they're telling Daniel, this appearance, this man is telling Daniel to not be afraid. There's something that mesmerizes me about us. I don't know that we're afraid of the devil, because he will tempt us that what we need to do with him is fun and fantasy and everything else. You all with me? That it's a good time. I mean, when the devil sends you a text, it's got the confetti burst in the text. You know, the man, you're going to have the time of your life. And if you're with us on Wednesday nights, you need to realize what we've been studying. Satan promises life, but he gives death. Okay, he promises life, but it's amazing to me, and I'm talking about us right here. Let's just take this room, how the enemy can say, look at the fun and the fantasy that you can have, and man, we'll run to him. We'll stand in line for him. But when heaven shows up, you and I are scared to death. It ought to be the other way around. You know, that the enemy's, you know, when we see the enemy's invitation, we're going, man, we ought to be backed off by that. But yet we run to it. And then heaven shows up and reveals itself to us, and we want to run and hide. I've already told you, we've picked out our grave plots in Campbellsville, and I've stood on those graves. And in fact, there's a guy in our church. In fact, he's an ex-trooper. He was doing detail in Campbellsville, and he found our graves and took a picture of them. I thought, how morbid is this, you know? But it said, is this what you've been preaching about? Man, I can't wait till the resurrection. I want to burst through the vault and the casket in 6 foot of dirt like a WWE wrestler coming into his music. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I'm going to look forward to that. You know, we may knuckle each other as we go, or high five as it is, or just give me one more swoop over Campbellsville before I leave. But whatever, I look forward to the things of God and even the revelation of God. But we run to the enemy with fervor and fun and fantasy, but God shows up and you and I are scared to death. Man, we should be able to welcome that. That God itself and heaven itself is revealing himself to us. And it helps us to understand the intent of God. I want you to look at Romans 12, 2. These messages that Daniel's getting is meant to strengthen him. Don't be conformed to this age or world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may discern what is the good, pleasing, and perfect will of God. that these messages, this revelation is given so that you and I will know how to walk faithfully with God and even what his intent is, what his will is for our life. We're being able to see that. So just know the messages that are here may be about a future time of war, spiritual war, earthly war, or both, which is where I land. But it is a message to strengthen us. You'll see that even clearer here in just a moment. But as I said earlier in one of my sermons, this message is for those days, these days, last days, and all days. It's meant to strengthen us. Third thing, Daniel senses the touch of God. Man, I could spend a long time in this one. When I mentioned that Daniel senses the touch of God, it just reminds me of the old Bill Gaither song, "He Touched Me," growing up when I was a boy. "In the hand of Jesus touched me, and now I am no longer the same." I go, how'd he know to write that? Was that just his imagination and creativity? I don't think so. I think it's something that he personally experienced. We often refer to the touch of heaven as the holy hug, that the Lord is there. I would be amiss. Have I had the Lord present him, manifest himself in front of me? The answer is yes, I have. There have been times in the depth of him manifesting that he's been there to me. I understand the holy hug. You know, there are many songs that we sing that we don't pay attention to them. One of them is a song out of my childhood that usually when I do a funeral of somebody that's much older than me, they have this song present. And you probably all, many of you all already going there. It's called "In the Garden." And then you just have to listen to the song. It said, I come in the garden alone while the dew is still on the roses, and he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me that I am his own. How does he know to write that? Is that just his creativity? No, I think he experienced that the Lord was there to be able to manifest. I know that when we were dealing with hospice, and both Meemaw and Papaw passing away, Julie's parents, but we just know from dealing with hospice chaplains and hospice nurses, one of the things they tell you is that as your loved one is dying, you may see them starting to reach. And Papaw started doing that, and Julie looked at me, and I go, well, there's Pentecostal Papaw is what I'd say. You know, but it's there. Something is being revealed to them that's drawing them, that they're reaching for it. And we believe it's the revelation of heaven, that it's the revelation of Jesus himself that is there. So Daniel senses the touch of God. I can't emphasize this enough, but scripture does say that Jesus would manifest himself to us. Look at John 14:21 for just a moment. "The one who has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me." Now just listen about that. If you're going to toss that life of following Christ to the side, then what does it mean? It's the next one. "And the one who loves me will be loved by my Father. And I will also love him and will reveal," or the word is manifest, "myself to him." That he does tell us that he'll do that. So here Daniel is seeing this vision of this man and this message that is to come in a moment. And he falls on his face. And it says that heaven touched him, the man touched him, and was able to bring him up to his knees. And then he was touching him again, and he was able to make him stand. And it says that he was trembling and he was afraid, that he felt humbled and unworthy. So let's be reminded that Daniel is a man who goes to God. Let's look at the picture in Daniel 10:12 for just a moment. This vision says to him, this man, "Don't be afraid, Daniel," he said to me, "for from the first day that you proposed to understand," or purposed to understand, "and to humble yourself before your God, your prayers were heard, and I have come because of your prayers." you and I are thinking that, man, you know, I don't see anything happening. Well, I've got to ask a question to you. Are you asking or are you demanding? That becomes a question I've got to ask you about as a pastor. Daniel had some great requests to the Lord, but they always favored what God's will would want to be. And he attaches to that. Remember that Daniel is not afraid to go to the king's throne because he's already been to God's throne. We've been saying that through this whole book, that he's not afraid of the king's throne. He approaches the king's throne with great confidence and power, but he's not afraid of the king's throne. Why? It's because he's been to God's throne. Amen. We got to understand that. And this is where Daniel gets his strength to confront a king, because he's encountered God himself in private. Listen, folks, we've got to have, and that's why I said it on Wednesday night to our group on Wednesday night. I'm pushing, leading, driving, and I don't care whichever way you look at it. Just go to the Father and let the Father reveal to you what you do and you don't need to be doing. Let me just talk about the baptism that you have for just a moment, the second one. I had no idea about previous conversations, and got to looking at Brady, and he was so excited over his grandfather being baptized that I was talking to the family, and I felt this impression, and I just said, Brady, you know, I pray for a word of knowledge even when I preach, or my prayer before I preach. And I think at that baptism, God gave me a word of knowledge to Brady. And I said, Brady, would you like to help me baptize your grandfather? And he dove right into this. I shared this with our group on Wednesday night. And in a conversation with his family, he'd been asking all the time coming here if he could help baptize his grandfather. I didn't know anything about that conversation, but the Holy Spirit did. And he moved me as a connecting dot to that situation. Guys, we've got to learn. That's part of even the Lord manifesting himself to us, that we've got to learn that. What I do with God in private prepares me for the witness I need to be in public. I'm not afraid of the king's throne because I've been to God's throne. And we've got to learn how to live that in a very practical way. I want you to be, even with Daniel here, of going to the Lord, he had scheduled things for him to do. His life, as much as it could be, was scheduled to be able to pray at those times and then other times as well. But listen to me today. Beware of sloppy devotional times. Now, I'm not telling you to beware of devotional times. I'm not telling you. Just quit running around and multitasking when you do it. You know, we do that so much. We champion multitasking way too much. That when I'm in the presence of God, I'm just going to tell you personally, I think you need to shut everything else out. I don't think it's, Lord, I'm going to do this on the run. It's just, don't be sloppy with it. I've been reading a lot of things about discipleship in the North American church in this century and in this culture. And one of the things that keeps reoccurring in what I'm reading is they keep reminding people that the kingdom of God is not for slackers. It's not for people who are running laps around the basketball court for their coach. And when their coach is not there, they cut through midcourt and counted a full lap. You know, it's the kingdom of God is not for slackers. This is not a game. It's life. So be careful about being sloppy about the way you come to him. Even from Daniel, it becomes a very intentional, planned, and a structured time. I've told you over and over, the world's not going to give you time to be with the Father. You're going to have to carve that out. And you're going to have to guard it to even spend time with him. The world won't give you the time for that. It'll absolutely work the opposite way of that. So the power that is presented to us today, Miles said it over his daughter during the baptism, is resurrection power. There was a touch of heaven in that day. What touches us is resurrection power. Look at Romans 10:9 for just a moment. It is so important that Romans mentions it should be a part of your salvation testimony. If you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord, and look at the next one, and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. So we get to the point, how do we get through? Well, it's the resurrection power of God. When heaven touches you today, what do they touch you with? They touch you with the resurrection power of God just to be able to get through. So this touch raises us. It raises us off our face to our knees and then to standing. It gives us strength and peace. I go back to what I said to you earlier. I want you to look at 2 Chronicles 7:14 for just a moment and just look at the promise of us going to the Lord. And my people who are called by my name, humble themselves, pray, seek my face, turn. You see that one? Turn from their evil ways. I will hear from heaven, forgive their sin, and bring healing to their land. I don't have any question about the bottom part of that, of what God can do. But my first part is, I just don't know if we're going to do the top part. If we do the top part, he does the bottom part. It's a promise for us there. You and I just don't carve that out. And we may go, well, I'm praying, I'm trying to humble, seek his face, but then we get to the point, let's just leave the fun and the fantasy alone. Let's just turn from our evil ways. And then let's move into his presence. See what happened. Daniel does this. And you're going, well, preacher, I'm not Daniel. Yes, you are. We are. Daniel's no different than us. And God gave him a spirit of excellence. Number four, Daniel's included in the battles of God. Look at Daniel 10:12-14 for just a moment. And in this picture, he said again, don't be afraid. He told him, he said, for the first day that you propose to understand and then also to humble yourself before your God, I can't read sometimes for this microphone stand. Your prayers were heard. I have come because of your prayers, verse 13. He said, but the prince of the kingdom of Persia opposed me for 21 days. Then Michael, one of the chief priests or princesses, came to help. Michael's one of our people, came to help me after I had been left there with the kings of Persia. Now I have come to help you understand what will happen to your people in the last days. For the vision refers to those days. There's a prince of Persia mentioned here. And if you need this, and it will take more study, this is a territorial demon. It's over specific places. I believe those exist. And this demon was opposing Michael for 21 days because Michael was coming with the message. And then there's this 21-day battle. I want to remind you that also in verse 2, Daniel 10:2, it says, in those days, I, Daniel, was mourning for 3 full weeks, 21 days. It's no coincidence that the 21 days that Michael was held up in the battle with the prince of Persia, a territorial demon, matches the 21 days of Daniel's fast. And there are a lot of people who do the Daniel fast. I'll let you look that up. That's a completely another sermon. But the 21 days of Daniel and the 21 days that the heavenly host was delayed become a match because the demon is trying to stop the message of God from getting to the man of God. That's what they do. Did they do it? No. They didn't stop it. You know, this shouldn't stop our prayers. It should increase them. Because heaven reacts to our prayers and the will of God. And the message is being given and brought through Michael, an archangel. Some refer to him as a warring angel. I think that it's interesting here that the prince of Persia came to stop the message. Now, there was a battle, but it matched those 21 days of Daniel praying and fasting. And then if you want to get real Pentecostal to the word breakthrough, there was a breakthrough in that. The message did come. The demon was overpowered. And here's what I don't want to use the word funny, but here's something I think I can laugh at a little bit. And that is the demon is trying to stop the message from the messenger of God to the man of God, but he ends up delivering it anyway, and the message has the doomsday for the demon. You know, that he's going to be defeated and over, and God is going to override him. So is there a delay? There is, but it didn't stop it. It didn't stop it. So what's amazing is Satan tries to stop it, but God gives it to the masses. Here, the demon's trying to stop that message from Michael to getting to Daniel. He doesn't. It gets to Daniel. And now through the prophet Daniel, it gets to everybody in the world. They're trying to stop it to get to the man of God, but yet it goes to the masses of humanity. It doesn't. Do you see that? I mean, that's worth an amen, even if you are a Baptist or Presbyterian. You know, I mean, it doesn't. They're trying to keep it from getting to Daniel, and the whole time is God's going to get it to everybody. Amen. You know, he's not going to stop that. I think that's incredible of what he does. And then there's mention of more territorial demons in the future they're going to have to handle, which is also the Prince of Greece. And we'll get that later on. If you're interested in learning more about angels and you need a good introductory book, let me just go back to Billy Graham. He's the Good Housekeeping Seal, isn't he? But he has a book called Angels, Angels, Angels. And it's just a good beginning book on angels. I think you need more study past that, but it's a good way to be brought into it. And it's the message. God uses angels. They're called messengers of God. They bring the message of God, and they do it on behalf of all of us. Lastly, Daniel is treasured by God. It says twice he is told this, that you are greatly loved, that my love, and I want you to hear this, is an enduring love, a forever love. I don't deserve it. I didn't earn it. It's a nothing separates you from his love kind of love. And he gives great assurance to us that we belong to him. Look at Romans 8, 14 through 18 for just a moment. That he says, all those led by God's Spirit are God's sons. For you did not receive a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear. Don't be afraid. But you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, which really means daddy, father. Verse 16, the spirit, here's the assurance. The spirit himself testifies together with our spirit that we are God's children. And look at the beauty of this. And if God's children, then we're heirs. Heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. Listen, everything he's going to get, you think you're not treasured? Everything the Father gives his Son, he's going to give to you. Amen. He's co-heirs with Christ, seeing that we suffer with him so that we may also be glorified with him. Verse 18, for I consider that the sufferings of this world, of this present time, are not worth comparing with the glory that is going to be revealed to us, made manifest to us. Daniel's treasured by God. So are you. You are too. You're the greatest part of his creation. You're the only part of his creation that has his image. The angels don't even have that. Amen. Angels don't have that. You and I are the only one that does. So we're treasured. Let's just treasure him back. And let's love him back. Let's love him back. Don't be afraid. Let's don't be afraid. I want you to bow with me for just a moment. Let's have a time of prayer, our pastoral prayer that we usually have at the beginning, we're going to have now. And in loving him back, it's Psalm 18:1, which is one I use. I love you, Lord. You are my strength. So let's just tell the Father today that I love you, Lord. I love you. I love you, Lord. And then let's thank him for the love that he has for us. A forever love, an everlasting love, an enduring love, a nothing separates you from his love kind of love. I really don't think we're able to worship until we understand how much he loves us. I think you can be in worship, but actual worship comes when we understand how much he loves us. And just like Daniel, he treasures you. He brings the message to you. He reveals him. He touches you. He makes you stand. Strength. So give him thanks. Give him thanks. And let's take a moment and pray for other people right now who overlap into our life. For whatever reason, ever how long they've been there, they could have newly overlapped into your life, or they've been there a long time, their family and friends. Would you lift them up to our Heavenly Father? As we pray for others, let's pray for nations. God is doing some great movements among other nations of our world. And at the same time, there's great persecution in some of our nations, like Nigeria. Pray for the persecuted church. Pray for his touch on them, the power. Power on them. Pray for peace. The Middle East. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Pray for peace between Russia and Ukraine. Continued peace. We pray that desperately. We want it for ourselves. We certainly want it for them. Pray for our nation, that our hearts would turn back to him again. Pray for our state, where we are, especially what happened with the UPS tragedy, the plane crash. And I used to work at UPS. I know there's another man in this building that used to work for UPS. Just pray for those families that have lost loved ones. Pray for them. Pray for the resourcing of their lives. Even with our shutdown and our nation, pray for a breakthrough. Pray for that. Pray for God's movement in the minds and hearts of all people, not just some. But pray for that to happen. What are your needs today that you bring before the Lord? Present them to our Heavenly Father. I ask that you pray a blessing over those who are around you right now and your family, wherever they may be. You've given, we've received an offering. Pray for God's blessing over that. We exist for no other reason to advance the kingdom and to present the gospel, not only here, but all over the world. Ask the Lord to bless your offering. And then, as I always do, remember there's a greater offering than your money here today, and that is you. You're highly treasured by God, greatly loved by God. And we say in response to that, here am I, Lord. send me, send us. Father, I pray over our people that we learn from Daniel today, Lord, that we can see your glory. We can hear your words. We can sense your touch, that you include us even in the heavenly battles. And those heavenly battles happen even because of us, and that we are treasured by you. May we walk in that today. It's in the name of Jesus that I pray and that we pray together. Amen. Church, would you stand with me? Counselors, find your place if you will. The team's going to lead us. You come.